Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
When the American Academy of Pediatrics published its policy statement discouraging electronic media for use in children under two, they were mainly talking about television, you know, DVDs, videos, but in the past 15 years or so, the technology's really changed. And now there's all these smartphones and tablets. And I'll tell you what's interesting about this is that the pediatricians themselves are divided about whether or not these things will help make our children smarter, whether they're good for our children, or whether they're not, and children should still go back to the old crayons and paper. My guest today is Dr. David Hill, fan favorite here on Healthy Children. Dr. Hill, so you were part of this debate. Tell us about this.
I was. Well, I had a great opportunity at the American Academy of Pediatrics National Conference and Exhibition that just wrapped up yesterday to actually moderate a debate between two of the most vocal members of the AAP. One was my friend and colleague, Dr. Dimitri Christakis, who has performed a lot of the research on young children and screens and what it means in terms of attention, learning, et cetera, that we've used to base our guidelines on. And then another of my friends and colleagues, Dr. Don Schifrin, who was one of the pioneers of our little piece of the AAP, the Council on Communications and Media, who has also helped craft these guidelines and is very conversant in them. And what happened was Dr. Christakis recently came out with a special edition of JAMA Pediatrics several months back that was dedicated to screens and kids and what the health effects might be. And in the editorial commentary that he wrote for this edition, he felt that it was time for us to acknowledge that screens are not all created equal, and to start exploring the idea that some portable interactive screens may not only not be harmful for children's development, but might potentially be helpful. Now, the thing is, we have very little data at this point to tell us which way it's going to be, right? So a lot of this is theoretical, and I think you have the most powerful arguments when there's not a way to settle it, right? You remember that the arguments you used to have with friends before we had smartphones, you know, and the internet, where you could look stuff up immediately and be like, oh yeah, well, here's how many games, you know, the Bears won in a given season, right? And now you can get an answer, and you don't have to have an argument because the answer is right there. We're in a place where the answer is still being developed, and so there's a lot of opinion. Dr. Christakis's opinion, which a lot of people take very seriously because it's arguably hard to find anybody who knows more in the country about this subject than Dr. Christakis, is that we need to start looking at some interactive games where children can actually play with it, influence it, where it changes with the child, where perhaps the child and the parent interact with each other, as not the same thing as passively watching a TV screen, which we know impairs child development, especially under age two, from a variety of studies. Dr. Schifrin's feeling is that since the jury is still out on this, and since there are some early data from folks like Pamela High suggesting that maybe the quality of learning from these games is still not as good as it might be from reading a book or playing with blocks, that we need to be very cautious, because he worries that if we start saying, well, okay, screens and tablets, these are great, people are going to run with that in places they shouldn't, which is, you know, just sitting kids down in front of a cartoon on a tablet and be like, well, it's a tablet, it's okay, right?
I get that. And so, you know, I don't know which side of the fence I'm on. I'm sort of back to the VCR days. And I'll tell you, Dr. Hill, I didn't let my kids get involved in those things, and maybe wrongly, because maybe now they're not as, I think they get pretty savvy with those things pretty quick when you start letting them get into it. But, you know, I sometimes look down my nose when I see parents sitting there and their kids are using their smartphones or their tablets and they're like 2 or 3 years old. So,
sure.
I mean, do you think that this is going to change? And you've got these two experts, you know, and they're both really smart in their fields, and I've interviewed them both, so I know what you're saying, but how do parents make the decision based on these two very smart guys and you placing it forward for us and explaining the situation? Then how do we make our decision?
You bet. You know, to me, and I've got five kids as well, as you know, Melanie, although none of them are under age two, which is really where the debate is right now. To me, it's a matter of remembering how young children develop their brains, right? They develop by interacting with other human beings better than anything else that they do. Everything you want to teach a young child, whether it's language or using their fine motor skills, using their hands and fingers, gross motor skills, running, walking, jumping, interacting with other people, interpersonal skills, all of those things they learn the fastest when they're face-to-face with another human being. So what are you doing with the tablet is the next question. Dr. Christakis likes to give the example, and I have several of these children in my practice, of kids whose parents may be deployed. We have a lot of parents in our practice who are in Afghanistan or Iraq still, and Skype is often the only way that they see their parents' face. And, you know, he would say, well, would you say that's a bad thing because it's on a screen? No, nobody would say that interacting with your mom or dad who's somewhere far away over a screen is a bad thing. It's an interaction. It's a good thing, right? Is reading a book to your child on a screen in your lap a bad thing? No, it's reading a book. I think everybody would agree. But then some of Dr. High's questions are, well, what if the book reads itself? Is that as good as you reading the book to the child? Probably not, because when you read a book to a child, you say, hey, look at this. What color is this? You make faces. You use your voice. You stop and ask questions and let the child direct the attention, right? And they're interacting with you. So I think anything that takes the child's interactions away from you is sort of tending toward the sorts of things that we know aren't as good for child development. And especially those things that are the most passive. I mean, really, if you're showing your kid a cartoon, it doesn't matter what the size or shape of the screen is. They're still just watching a cartoon. They're not likely to learn very much from it.
Interesting. And as somebody who does audiobooks with my daughter, especially Harry Potter audiobooks, because they're incredible, and the guy does all the voices and really makes it like a performance, we sit there, and it is a bit passive, but we put it on pause and discuss what we just heard, and we laugh, and we sit there cuddling while we listen to this man put on the book. So I get it. It's got to be how much you're putting into it and what your children are getting back out of it. So if they're just sitting there playing Angry Birds and they're 3 years old, they're not learning a whole lot from it.
Exactly. And Dr. Christakis points out that the app developers are now starting to bring the tablet out into the three-dimensional world. There are more and more three-dimensional games that can be played with the assistance of a tablet. So, you know, there's a cup stacking or shape sorting game that uses real plastic shapes of the sorts that you might buy in any other child development game. And I think Dr. Christakis has made the argument that these things really are indistinguishable from any other three-dimensional game that a child would play with. So again, are they using their hands? Are they interacting? Are they doing something creative or constructive? And I think that's where you're going to find a lot of people, even in the academy, saying, well, you know, these are some really blurry lines right now. So maybe what we need to suggest, rather than divide screens versus not screens, is to say, what type of activity is this screen fostering, and suggest healthier activities that are better for development and perhaps less healthy activities that are less good for development.
That's great advice. So wrap it up for us. You know, you moderated this. How fun. What a neat debate it is. And I think parents, you can use this as a starting point with other parents. What do you think of the situation? And ask them. So Dr. Hill, your best advice on toddlers and tablets and the new age media.
You bet. I think ask yourself, what is the tablet doing? If it's fostering human interaction, problem solving, interacting with the real world, then it's probably just an extension of how children learn. If the tablet is pacifying your child so that they will hold still and stare at something while you're cooking, hey, we've all been there. I have done it. But realize that that's something you don't want to do a whole lot of, because it may be taking the place of some activity that would lead to better development.
Absolutely. Great information. And it's up to you, parents, but discuss it with other parents. See what they think. It's a very interesting debate. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Healthy Children. Our expert guests are provided by the American Academy of Pediatrics, our great friends here at Radio MD. Thanks so much for listening, and stay well.